You just saw, you can sit whatever side you want. You just saw a sample of 40 years of ministry by this couple in Guatemala. Have a seat. Be relaxed and be comfortable. We've looked. Are you comfortable?
Yeah.
I feel very relaxed.
Okay.
You should be nervous. Because I have a reputation for the way I do interviews.
Pastor, I was very nervous when I was sitting out there, but then I checked the seats, and I didn't see any wires leading into the seats. And so now I feel better.
I think you're okay then. We've looked forward to this since we knew you were coming to be here. And our goal this morning is give you a little overview, a quick one, of what this couple, Larry and Claire, have been doing in Guatemala for 40 years and how they arrived here. I'll work with you on that, a little history. Tom, your job is to talk with them about what you all are doing now, because that's your area of leadership. So I want to know, first of all, does that make you a little homesick for Guatemala to see that, Claire?
Yes, it does. Yeah, that was been our life. Yeah. Those were our kids and our friends.
And it's all about people. Everything that we saw in the pictures is about people.
Right.
So, Larry, if you had to put it in a sentence, your major thrust, you, not Claire, in Guatemala, what were you spending the majority of your time doing?
Well, when we surrendered to the mission field, it was to establish churches. And so we went down, we started our first church, and then the second. One led to another, and pretty soon there was a seminary, and so we were teaching all of the pastors. And so many of the churches have pastors that we taught.
That's exciting, and that goes on.
It does.
And Claire, you're all about babies and children and orphanage.
Yes, kind of.
How did it start?
Well, it started, Larry was out in the world, in the Guatemala world. He was learning Spanish and talking to people, and I was homeschooling four kids. And I just really started praying, Lord, I feel like if I'm going to be a missionary, I'm going to have a ministry too. And then within just a few weeks after that, someone came to us and said, there's a baby that's going to be born, and if it's a boy, we don't want it. If it's a girl, we're going to keep it. And so they said, well, maybe you want a boy. And I thought, well, no, we already have four kids. I don't need any more kids. And so, but I had a friend in Kansas that said, if you ever get a baby that's a boy and he doesn't have a home, we'll take him. It was our associate pastor's wife. I prayed with her at the altar and before we came to Guatemala. Anyway, she came to mine, and in 3 months, they came down to pick up their little boy. They were so excited. It was neat. And he is now an engineer in Chicago and has twin boys.
So that grew to an orphanage.
Yes, after that, then when people found out that we would take children, then they started bringing them. Or unwed mothers. We had a real ministry with unwed mothers who would come and they would be trying to get away from family or boyfriends or so many various different ideas that they came to us and said, can you take this baby? And we were able to adopt many children into the United States and Europe.
So eventually you had the orphanage. Now it's in the management of your daughter and son-in-law.
Right.
Yes.
And after 40 years, you felt like it was time to turn most of the management of your ministry over to others. You came back to Wichita, and we connected through some World Venture people. Mm-hmm. And Tom and I had an email thing going with you for a while, and eventually you're here.
Right.
And we're so glad you're here. And you're going to go back in February for a trip.
That's right.
Keep contact with those folks.
Right, and I need to invite anybody that wants to go can go with me.
There's your chance. Right. Now, fast forward in reverse. Claire, you were a little girl here, and your dad, Mel Erickson, first pastor of Wood Village Baptist Church.
Yes.
We won't tell you exactly when that was, but the church started in 1951, okay? And so actually, you've come home.
Right.
And you brought Larry with you.
Right.
Now, I don't know which one of you is going to do this, and you have to make this really short, but you grew up to be a fine young lady, And Larry got somehow from Kansas to this part of the world. I think the Navy helped you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of you is going to tell us how you met. You can make it short.
Well, let me. I think she's already told all the ladies, so they probably want to know my side of the story. So, well, the Navy did bring me to this area. I was in dry dock, and we were looking around to see what we're going to do the time we were here. And one of my friends says, "Hey, I met this girl at Shriners Hospital, and I'm going to have a date with her next Friday, and I think pretty sure that I could get you a date with somebody, one of her nurse friends." And I said, "Okay, I've never been on a blind date before, but this sounds like fun." So we went out, and here comes my friend, and he drives up with this girl, and I'm thinking, there's only one girl in there. And so he says, "Well, she chickened out. She didn't want to come."
That's so funny, is she's really big and round.
And that's what I was looking for. And so we were, I should have just let her tell the whole story, shouldn't I? So we stopped by this little place downtown. It's not there anymore. It's called Jolly Jones, and it was kind of like a cafeteria. You know how the stools and everything goes through, and the counter goes like this? And so we're sitting there, and I said, "Well, I better get back to the ship." And the girl that he was with says, "Hey, there's Claire Ann over there. Maybe she'll go." And Claire had been sick, and she'd just come back, and she was doing a bus transfer, and she was there. And so I saw her first between the pie racks, you know, the chocolate cream pie. And the wasn't really sure what she looked like, but I got to go over there, and I said, "I got to make this good the first time." So I put my arm around her as we were introduced and said, "Hi, sweetheart."
Did you really? I did.
And I was the shyest boy you could imagine. I don't know where I got that. Maybe she needed it and God knew that, see? Anyway, we went out and we looked at Christmas tree lights that night. And they were beautiful. It was Christmas time. And I said, "Oh, that's a cute ring you've got on your finger." And I asked to see it. And she asked to see mine. They were class rings. And so at the end of the night, I said, "I can't get your ring off my finger." That's kind of lame, isn't it? That's really lame. "I can't get your ring off my finger. And so I'll have to see you again. I'll be able to get it off." And she said, "Okay." And so one thing led to another. We went out to a brand new shopping center. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's brand new back then. It was called Lloyd Center. And we went in there. We hadn't been in there very long, and something just guided us by Zales Jewelers. I don't know what it was. Long story short, 2 weeks later, I gave her a ring, asked her to marry me. And after a silence, she said yes.
That's an amazing story. Did he tell it pretty accurately?
Yes, he did.
All right.
Yes.
Because if it didn't happen that way, it should have. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So courtship, marriage, back to Kansas, eventually to Guatemala, amazing ministry, and now you're here. And just a little background. We, in our ministry to the community, know that we need help in the cultural area, in the language area. Pastor Tom, that's his area. He's the pastor to the Hispanic community. Those folks love him. Mm-hmm. They tolerate me. They love Tom. It's a great combination. He's even learning the language. He and Larry are working together. So we knew, and some folks in the congregation knew, that we need to get Tom some help to make this thing go. Mm-hmm. A family in the church put some money up so we could get these folks here as missionaries, and we're working on putting that into our budget for next year. So you're here. It's been a fun journey to see you get here. We've got a lot to learn from you, but all I can say is that it's been really fun to get to know you, and we're so glad that you're a part of our team. And Tom, visit with Larry and Claire, and I'll try to stay quiet unless I just need to interfere. And talk basically about what you guys are doing and where it's going, how they're helping you, and where you see this journey going.
Well, I'm hoping that you get to hear their heart. because it's amazing, the hearts that God has cultivated in them. And I know some of you already know them, and you know their humor, and you can see it here, and I'm just so happy you're here. It's really speechless. So thanks for being here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can I ask you, though, I want to hear from your heart. You had to make a decision to come here and to be here. And you know that's a tough decision to make. Where are you going to land after 40 years of ministry? You got a home in Wichita. Why here? Why Wood Village Baptist Church?
Oh, my. Well, we have a couple of supporting churches as missionaries in the state of Oregon, and I contacted them because I thought maybe there would be a ministry possibility in this area. And one of the men that's a member of the church down in Elkton is a part of the Conservative Baptist Northwest.
World Venture,
okay. And so he gave me some names, and I visited with several, and I wrote you an email. I didn't call you, did I? Did I write you an email?
He gave me your email, and I wrote to you.
Okay, well, that's great.
See, I can be aggressive, too.
Oh, well, that's great. That's why we love it here. Everybody can just speak their mind. Anybody got anything you want to say? So thank you for writing me. We came in, and it was we were met by Pastor Smiling Face, and we had a good visit, and we just felt God leading, and we knew this was a place that we could also find a church home. And I've got to say, you know, we're retirement age. We're not ready to quit doing ministry, but we're at a place where we needed a church home. And Pastor Bill's provided that church home for us, and we just feel so honored to be here with all of you folks.
So how does this, I know part of that decision was this kind of fits into where your heart is, what's going on here. So how does this fit into your future ministry vision and where your heart is?
Well, I'll go back to what Pastor said. It must have been difficult leaving Guatemala, and it was for us. In fact, we almost describe it as grief because we thought, oh, no, what are we going to do? These are our people. And so we decided after prayer and just talking about it that we'd like to go someplace where we could minister to other Hispanic people. And so we got to thinking about it, and all these opportunities came up, and we wrote letters. And when we came here, and we met just, I don't know, maybe a half a dozen of your Hispanic families, and our hearts were touched, and they were so welcoming, they were so encouraging to us. And they're like our people back home. And so it's kind of like, you know, when Paul talked about the first love of a church. And so Guatemala was our first love, and we fell in love with the Hispanic people and their culture, and saw many of them come to Christ, and we would just love to be able to share the things that we've learned there with the people here, the Hispanic people. And of course, that doesn't eliminate anybody that's not Hispanic. We want to be part of the church and part of your programs and everything that goes on.
And Claire, that I think when I talked to you both the other day, we were talking about some of the questions I might ask. You related to how that had been your family. Mm-hmm. You've grown up in the midst of this culture, and your heart was really drawn to that. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, they talk about missionaries going to another land and they're going to have culture shock and it's going to be really hard. We didn't have culture shock. We talked about going to a new adventure. God wants us on this new adventure to present Jesus. And that's what we would like to do here in this area, too, is just teach Jesus to the people. And hopefully that's what's going to bring them here. This church is a real lighthouse in this community. We talked about you're going to tell about the,
the
bus.
I'll just mention so you don't have to tell that part. I was driving the car, I think. No, maybe you were driving the car. Anyway, we came down Rattle Road, and there's school buses letting kids off. We went by one of the mobile home parks. There's this big old huge bus in front of us, and the kids just kept getting off.
And we were late.
Come on, let's go. But afterwards, I got to thinking about God has put this church in this spot for a special reason. And so we're excited about that. And I'm excited for you guys because you guys are part of this ministry. And you're the ones that are going to see it grow and see what God does.
Do you have any idea what that might look like? You don't have a clue.
Well, it's not going to start the way it started in Guatemala. I don't know. I don't have a clue. We're just working. We're just getting to know people, and we'll see what they need. I know that they need language. When you go to a foreign country, and as many of these Hispanic people have come here from someplace else, they have to deal with language and not knowing, not understanding, and the culture differences. We did exactly the same thing. We went to Guatemala, we didn't speak a word. And, well, I take that back. We had 15 or 20 words, actually. Yeah. That was about it. And so we just
every
saw...
Every time.
Yeah, every time. So I don't even know how to say this. I just know that the Hispanic people need your help and our help to be able to learn English and do things in English, and we need to be able to understand each other back and forth. How that happens, I don't know. But the other thing I need to say is Hispanic people, just like English-speaking people in another country, you have a hunger to hear the gospel in your own language. And so we need to do some of the providing of that also, however that looks, and I don't know how that looks yet.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Now that you call Wood Village Baptist your church home, what about your own spiritual and relational needs?
Well, Claire, I think you ought to tell about that because you really got involved in the Bible studies right away.
Mm-hmm. I had never been really a part of ladies' Bible studies in years. I've been the leader. And so it was really fun to get involved with the two different classes here, plus the Wednesday evening in Spanish and the teaching the ladies in the afternoon on Thursday and in the Bible. And it's been really encouraging to get our spiritual life back on track again. When you give out all the time and you don't take in, you kind of get dried up. So thank you for helping us with that.
I can't say it better than that.
Very good. Well, we hope to be able to help. Hope to be able to refuel what you've given so much in the last 4 years. Help to refuel you. And you're very relational, so it's not difficult. Yeah, it's been easy to get to know you, and I hope you can all get to know them.
You're saying we haven't had our first argument yet? Is that what you're saying?
Sometimes you confuse me, but no arguments. You know, evangelism is a tough thing in this culture, and because we actually live in multiple different cultures here.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to hear from you, why is evangelism and outreach to different cultures important to you?
Well, it's important for the same reason it's important to you, because people are there without Christ, and people need a Savior, and we've known that all of our lives, and we've worked at it in different ways. We started a seminary because of that. Some of those guys who graduated, they're out starting churches, and they're evangelizing. People just don't come to know the Lord by osmosis. If we're out here, our job is to, and I'm not just talking about pastors and missionaries, our job is to tell people about our relationship with God and ask them tough questions sometimes. And when we see people in trouble or in difficult situations, offer to help them. That's when they're most open to maybe hearing about God, is when they're going through something really rough. And so I think that's a lesson for all of us. It's been a lesson for me, and be a lesson for all of us.
Mm. Can you maybe think through the future here? What might be some of the challenges that Wood Village Baptist is going to have reaching out to this community?
I don't know. I do know that it is difficult when you don't understand their language either. It's not that you wouldn't accept them, but you don't know their language. If somebody was from another country and they came in and they looked different, you could accept them if you understood their language, but if you don't understand their language, it's more and more difficult. So that will be a difficulty. And how about if I just have a class and everybody learns how to speak Spanish, and then would that work?
I'd go. Yeah.
I know you would. I think he has to go. This is Wood Village Baptist Church, isn't it? We always have food.
We had talked about possibly that in the future, that when we would sing, we could also sing in Spanish. That's one of the reasons we picked up Spanish right away when we were in Guatemala. When we first went, there were three missionaries that we kind of worked with, and they already had churches. And in Guatemala, they had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Tuesday night, Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday afternoon with youth. And so we did a lot of singing. And you're singing like the Old Rugged Cross or How Great Thou Art, and you're singing in English or in Spanish, but the English tone, melody, it was easy to remember the words. And when you said heart, it was corazón, and pretty soon we were learning, we were talking, we were actually using a lot of our words in the songs that we were then using in our daily life. And so maybe that's what we can do here some, and you all can learn some Spanish songs along with the people learning English songs. Just an idea.
Yeah, well, I know that's one thing that I've done too, is singing Spanish. That's very helpful. And how to pronounce the word.
Uh-huh.
Well, I have time for one more question. And clearly, God has given Wood Village Baptist Church a heart for outreach for this community. I mean, it's grown over the years, and I get a tremendous amount of support and encouragement. And there's different gifts out there. Some people are going to learn Spanish, some people aren't. But many are going to pray and support this ministry. What words of encouragement can you leave us with or give us right now in terms of how to look forward and how to prepare for what's next in this ministry?
Well, I don't know if I have that much wisdom. But I think we need to be open for what God has for us. We all pray and we say, Lord, help me to do what I'm supposed to do today and learn the things I'm supposed to learn. And I believe that there's a real learning process, and we need to just kind of get in there and learn and see if we can talk to some of these folks. And if we can't talk to them, we'll learn some words and back and forth, and you can pray for them. And I know that in the meetings we've had with them, they have been praying for certain needs that are taking place among you as a congregation. And so that's just an encouragement. And I go back to what I said, Wood Village is here for a purpose, and all of you are part of that purpose. And so I encourage you. Tell you one quick story, and this will, I think we only have about a minute, right?
Yeah.
This.
Go ahead.
Maybe he has another question.
Yes, we do.
We have a camp facility, and there's lots going on. It's kind of like what's going on in here in this church. There's people coming and going. I don't know who all they are sometimes. And I stopped a guy that had just dropped off about 15 people in a large van to do an activity in one of our buildings. And I talked to him a moment and found out that I knew his dad. I didn't know him, but I knew his dad in another city. And so we talked for a while. Finally, I got around to asking him about his spiritual condition. And as soon as I asked him if he knew Christ as his Savior, he got this big smile on his face, and he pointed over to our meeting, like your fellowship hall here. It's another building. He pointed over there, and he said, last year, this same week, I accepted Christ right over there. keep in mind, I didn't know this guy, I didn't plant the seed, I never talked to him before, but just the fact that we were there, available, God used somebody to lead him to Christ right on our property. God's going to use Wood Village Church, and I don't know how. Maybe somebody drives up and drops some people off, I don't know. But he's going to use this church, and you'd be looking for that. Just look and see, what's God going to do? What has God done, and will he do it again? And that's kind of what I'd like to leave you with.
Wow, I didn't hear that story either. Thank you.
You're welcome.
We have some amazing missionaries working globally.
Yes.
And more than 20 years ago, our church family said, we need to really connect with our community. That was the assignment. And the mission field has come to us, not only in the Hispanic community. They come to us every other Saturday night from China, the pilots that come here. We have some amazing missionary global things happening. That we don't have to go anywhere. All we do is make the facilities available and have people here. And so for about 20 years, we tried to build trust with this community. That was our assignment. Sheriff's Department, the Health Department. And that was growing, that was building. And then about 5 years ago, God brought Tom and Jen to us. And one of Tom's major assignments was to pick up this community thing and lead it and make it happen. And he's doing that, doing an excellent job. And now God has brought some tremendous help to work with him and his team. I see a pattern here, don't you? Isn't that exciting? Absolutely. Thank you so much for being here and being a part of the church family. I'm going to pray. We're going to sing a song while you all go back down, and then Tom will close the service. It's been great to have you here. Father, the way you guide continues to amaze me. I don't know why it amazes me, because you're the amazing God, but it does. It's fascinating. It's inspiring. Hindsight is so interesting, and as Tom has talked about, we don't really know where this thing is going. We don't know where a lot of things are going. We don't even know where we'll be tomorrow, because all things are in your hands. But one thing is sure, Jesus is the Savior, and Creator God is in charge, and the Holy Spirit is guiding, and we have an assignment to tell your story, and we need to do it individually and corporately until you take us home. And thank you for letting us all as a church family be a part of a ministry, whether we can speak a word of Spanish or whether we can spend any time relating to folks. We can all pray, we can all give financially, and we can all believe. Thank you for letting us be a church family that is committed to working with Savior Jesus to carry out the Great Commission to take the gospel to the entire world, and to do that until you call us home. Thanks for letting us be a part of your church, and thanks for Larry and Claire, and for bringing them to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Give them a hand, will you?